pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. A lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. His words will hide my heart, that I might not sin against God. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag, since the Savior's teaching stands. One Savior, crucified, risen and coming again, with life and liberty to all who believe. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. So it's good to be back in the House of Lords tonight. Okay, let's pray for Joseph Smith. He's in the hospital. Scotty Smith, Linda Johnson family, Zane Hudson, Carol Buck. Also remember him. He's not in the hospital now, but he's got out, so pray for him. Buddy Weaver, Andrew Morgan, Kenny Brown, Geraldine Schrantz, Gladys Keegan, Dallas Keegan, Randy Winstead, Christy Morgan, Debbie, Maddie, Dorothy Buck, Jeremy Matthews and family, Frank and Luann and family, Larry Burns and family, Kayla, Hannah, Addie, Heather Lee Mills, Suzanne, Lewis, Kelly Pruitt, Emily, Jan Ebel, Bill Gibsby, Devin Potteet, and Mark Thomas. All right, has anybody got anything needs to be added to that list?
I got one. So, let me tell you something. I worked in someone's faith at CBCC, and I'm going 3 days, and Elma Bobby told me it will take me 4 years to graduate, but I don't want that to happen. So please pray it will only take 2 years to graduate.
Okay. Keep that in mind. Anyone else?
And my mom has COVID, okay. So please pray for her that she gets tested negative tomorrow.
Okay. All right. So remember that one also. Okay. All right. If not, all Ken Wills come and pray. Take to me.
Sauce, you want to say?
Okay.
Sorry, I just thought you went on the...
Me.
something. I think there's another Hitchcock thing standing around here somewhere. Be back in the house of the Lord again tonight.
Amen.
We're going to be in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4. Starting verse number one, of course, is having itchy ears. And we do have a country where they want to turn away from hearing the Word of God.
Amen.
They don't want to hear the truth. They think that the world that they live out there, they think the government's telling them the truth. They think that the schools are telling them the truth. They think that their employees are telling them the truth. They think that the doctors are telling them the truth. They believe in the truth from everybody but the one that tells the truth, and that is Jesus.
Amen.
He is the truth.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Verse number one, it says here, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you like that? Get charged not before just God, but before the Lord Jesus Christ as well. Who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. But you're going to get judged by God, you'll get judged by Jesus. You ain't going to get judged by none of these gods out here in this world. Allah's not going to judge you. Buddha's not going to judge you. Whatever God that they come up with, the baseball God, the stock car God, Bud Light God, none of those gods are going to judge you. When we're judged, when we stand before either the great white throne of judgment or the judgment seat of Christ, whatever one that you're elected to go to, you will be judged by God according to your words. I mean, it's written down. It says in the Bible, it says whenever that you'll be judged out of books.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad that I'm going to be at the right judgment.
Amen, yeah.
Am I going to be there perfect? No. Am I going to be able to stand there boldly before God and say, hey, I never done nothing wrong? No. But we will be judged by God. God Jehovah. No other God is going to judge us.
Amen.
But God. And we all, regardless whether we accept the Lord Jesus Christ or not, we will have to stand and give an account. You know, our blood, blood's covered our sins. We're fine, Christians. But I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a lot of people that stands before God, and God's going to say, you never made it. The devil convinced you that you did, but you didn't. going to be a sad day for those people. You know, it says of our Matthew, I think it's Matthew Mark, where it says, you know, we, you know, do we not cast out demons? Do we not prophesy in thy name? Do we not do all, you know, do all these great things in your name? And he says, I will profess to thee that you know me not, I knew you not. But you can't serve two masters. It's either God or nothing. There ain't no in-betweens, no straddle offenses. God says here, I charge thee, therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead and his appearing in his kingdom. When you can't get no plainer than that. We will be judged. Good, bad, or ugly. I just hope that I have more pretty things to be judged for than bad. You know? It says here, and a lot of people take this as preachers. Preach the word. Of course, he's talking here to Timothy. But you know, I know that women are not preachers. You know, men are preachers. But, you know, a woman can, you know, talk to the little kids and teach them about Jesus. They can talk to other women. And they can pray. You know, it says here, to preach the word, to be instant in season and out of season. You know, that could be more than just preaching. You know, be ready to testify, to teach. At the drop of a hat, to be prepared to witness to someone that God places in, you know, just not, I mean, even a man that ain't a preacher.
Yeah.
That ain't been called to preach. You know, to be ready in season, out of season, to, you know, to be able to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ and how he died on the cross and how he gave his life. That we might have a life and it more abundant, how we could be saved through believing what he done on Calvary's cross. But he's telling Timothy here to preach the word, to be in instant in season and out of season. You know, be ready to reprove, rebuke, exalt with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Boy, we're living in those days, ain't we?
Yeah.
They don't want it. The world out there, they'd rather watch a ball game. They'd rather, I'm going to be honest with you, they'd rather pay hundreds of dollars to sit in a crowded stadium and watch a football game than to come and give 10% of their salary each week and listen to the preacher three times a week. Yeah. And I bet you one thing right now, in the times that we live, the church ain't near as crowded as that ball stadium. But we need to be, church, we need to be ready to tell people even if we think they're not going to listen.
Yeah.
You know, I get it. My mom and dad before me did it. I've seen my kids do it. They'll look at one of the young and say, you just ain't going to listen, are you? Uh-huh. You just ain't going to listen to what I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah.
I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to show you, you know, don't do something, and I turn around and you do it anyway. Granddaddies, listen to me. There was plenty of times I told your daddy not to do something. He done it anyway. And guess what? I done to him what he does to you. Put a little shine on that backside.
Yeah, amen.
But you know, church, tonight, the world out there, they don't listen. They're not concerned. They don't believe. So therefore, they're not going to listen. So we don't think. But sometimes it gets through.
Yeah.
Just like it is with these youngins. You holler at them and they stop. And they don't do it no more. And again, they do. Just as soon as you turn your back. But you know, that world out there, sometimes they do listen. And you want me to prove it to you? I can prove it right here, right now. You're sitting here, ain't you?
Yeah.
You heard.
Yeah.
You believed. I heard. I believe. I listened.
Yeah.
Back in the day, there was somebody, probably, you know, it might have been even Preacher John. Although that Morgan guy, he ain't going to listen. I got a better chance with them youngins than I do him. Sometimes we're not even as Christians, we don't really know the power, how God can inspire and work in someone's life.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
But you know, he says here to preach the word, to be instant, in season, out of season, to reprove, with all long suffering and doctrine. For there will come a time they will not endure sound doctrine.
Yeah.
But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. And I'm going to tell you what. It's sad to say, but I'm going to be honest with you. In our church houses today, we have got churches that has preachers that all they want to do is eat. All they want is just scratch ears.
Yeah.
They're in it for the money. Mm-hmm. They're in it for the the fame of being a preacher or whatever. It ain't about the souls. It's about how big they can make their congregation. Mm-hmm. Now, big congregation. What's the use to have 1,000 souls sitting there if you're not preaching to Jesus?
Amen.
They might as well be over at the baseball game.
Yeah.
They'd probably get more out of it.
Yeah.
Than having a preacher stand up there and tell them while they're all right, when in reality they're dying and going to hell right off the church pews.
Yeah.
Amen. I'd much rather have a preacher that ain't quite, you know, maybe educated some of the others that tell me God loves me, that he sent his darling son Jesus to die for me, and because of that, I have a chance to be saved and go to heaven, is to have one tell me that I'm all right and I go down and go to hell right off the pew.
Yeah.
And we're living in those days. Folks, we're down to the end of this thing. And there's more concern over numbers and dollars than there is souls being saved. Souls being saved is what church is about.
Yeah.
It ain't about how many people you've got.
Yeah.
It ain't about how many dollars you've got. It's about people being fed, being, you know, getting right with God. That's what's important.
Amen.
You know, we got this idea today that if you ain't perfect and dressed just right and smell just right and act just right. You don't need to be in the house of God. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Lost sinners is what needs to be in the house of God.
Yeah.
We need sinners in the house of God to come in and hear the word of God. To hear them sweet children singing wonderful songs about Jesus. To hear that Jesus loves them even though they're a hell-bound sinner. That he died for them. That's what a place for a sinner is in the house of God.
Amen.
We don't need a bunch that's, you know, every time somebody walks in the door, they stick their nose up at them because of the way they act or the way they look. I'll tell you one thing, all those years of sitting on the church pew with my name on the church roll and it not being in the Lamb's Book of Life, I could come in and look just as good as the rest of the sheep. And talk just as good, probably better than some of the rest of them that was. What we need in our churches today, what we really need in the house of God is lost people.
Yeah.
We need, you know, I would like to see this building full next Sunday of people that is lost. That are needing something from God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, we pray for people to come to our church and, well, what we're kind of hoping for is going to leave their church and come to ours. Mm-hmm. What we really need is lost people in the house of God.
Amen.
Listening to the Word of God. Getting saved through God's preached Word.
Amen.
They're not going to hear it out on the streets unless they're listening to a street preacher. Mm-hmm. And therefore, a few in between anymore. Verse number 4, they shall turn away from their ears from the truth and shall turn to fables. The reason why we're sitting here this morning tonight in a church is empty. I mean, one whole side of it, ain't nobody even sitting on it. Everybody's on the same side. And it's half empty. I guess I need to be positive and say it's half full. But a whole lot of Christians, and I believe in my heart, I believe there's people out there right now that's saved. That sit under the good preaching of the Word of God, got convicted, got saved, and something's happened, and they got out of the house of God. And they're just sitting out there, well, I just can't find a place where I'm happy. Well, one thing would be to ask God where you need to be.
Yeah.
A lot of times when we're looking for a church, we're looking for the one we want to go to.
Yeah.
I wonder how many people just sit down and pray and ask God, where do I need to be? Where do you need me? Where can you use me?
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
But they've turned their ears away from the truth. And they've turned into fables.
Fables.
Fables. It's like stories. Not the truth. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Now he's trying to help Timothy out here with the positive things. You know, he's telling Timothy, you know, to be watchful of all things, to endure. And church, you know, so I think that's something that, you know, I come here in 2012 as your pastor. And I think we have endured a lot. As a church, as a family, we have been endured a lot. And, you know, we've been through a lot. We've had people to come and go. And they leave, and sometimes you don't know why, sometimes you do. Sometimes it's because they got hurt feelings over things that I don't know, but you know, whatever reason. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time in my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, gave me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Now Paul's saying here to Timothy, you know, my time's at hand. You know, this is just right before Paul was killed. And you know, he's trying to give this young preacher a little bit of encouragement and warning. Church, I'm going to give you a warning now. They're not going to listen to us. Not all of them. Some will, some won't. And you know, we got to tell all to make sure that we get the ones that are going to listen. You never know when you're talking to somebody, brother, the Holy Ghost of God has already started dealing with their heart already. And that we can make mention of something about the Lord. I'll tell you, I know she ain't here, but my wife, she can get right in the middle of a food line and start talking to people about Jesus. She can. She does it better than I do. And I'm the pastor of the church. She will give a testimony. She will tell people about how good God's been to her. I mean, I've even seen it where, I mean, there her heart's just barely working. And as far as she knows, it can be her last day. And she's telling people how good God is to her. The way we all should be.
Yeah.
We all should be like that. That should be a good example. That woman, Christy, should be an example to the rest of us.
Amen.
Go to town with her somewhere. Get her in the middle of a store. She would. Last time I had her in the store, she did. Right over our start time at the food line, she was telling people how good God was to her. And I can't, for some reason, I just can't get that conversation started with anybody. You know what? Mm-hmm. But that is a gift that God has given her to be able to witness. You know, I wished I could be like her.
Yeah.
Amen. When it comes to that. That's all I got tonight. Does anybody got anything on your heart? Okay. If not, CJ, you dismiss us.
Who?
CJ.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I was getting dry.
I couldn't work it out while I come to your wife. I see what happened in the past. Pastor?
Yes, sir.
Where's Karina Perry?
She's not. She's been cremated.
Where is she?
Her husband's got her remains in a urn. Whenever he dies, then they'll put his in with hers, and then they'll bury both of them.
Okay.
When you get cremated, you don't necessarily have to be buried.
Because you're just ashes in a jar.